Thank you, worship team. Hi, Antioch. All right. It's good to be here today. Yeah, it did take a little while to recover from the retreat. I realized, too, I was talking to Kimberly, realized that, like, we did this Sermon on the Mount series, and Matt closed it when he came and spoke here, which is great that it worked out that way, but left me feeling a little bit without as much closure. I want to thank you, though, for journeying with me through the Sermon on the Mount. I really do. I really mean that. It's important to me. I started there as your interim January 1st and started right there and looked at the teaching, the core teachings of Jesus. And it means a lot to me that you and I would be able to go through that together. I think it's so easy in our culture to show up, to call ourselves Christians, but not really know what Jesus even taught. It's so easy to worship God on Sunday, but not follow Jesus on Monday. I mean, really, it's a thing. And I just think that for us to go through and say, what did Jesus actually teach? And how can we help each other to just come along and actually follow him? That's a big deal. I want to thank you for taking that journey together and allowing us to go through it. I learned too, so it's always we. It's never, I'm not teaching you. We are learning together at the feet of Jesus. And it means a lot to me to do it together with you. So thank you for that. As we learned at the retreat, we're not just alone as we try to figure out what Jesus taught, how he lived, and follow him by faith. It's not a solo act. God has brought us together to do this together. He's given us salvation in Christ so that he could bring us into the family of God. We're adopted into the family of God together. We are the family of God. We become members of the body of Christ, and we are living stones that together make up the temple of God to worship him. We've been given the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. We've been given the Word of God that we can keep taking in, and we get to remain in Christ. It's pretty amazing. We have lots and lots of grace and help and love as we learn how to follow Jesus in this world and become more like him by faith. We do it together. So I'm glad for all of that. This morning, we're going to take a look at and begin a new series on the idea of prayer. One of the things we do as we follow Jesus individually as we pray, and we also pray corporately together as a church body, in community groups, as families, prayer is a key part of our walk with Jesus. And so we're going to take a step into that and start this prayer, this sermon series on prayer. How many of you feel like prayer is important to you? How many of you feel like prayer is an area that I'd like to grow in? So that's an easy question for me to ask because I always feel that way. And anytime I ask a question like that, I get the same response. Like, this is a big deal, but it's not. It's one I'm not really satisfied with where I am yet. I want to grow and learn and continue on my journey to learn about prayer. So the way we're going to do it is we're going to walk through some Old Testament teaching on prayer, and then we're going to see a little bit more of what Jesus taught about prayer, and then we're going to finish up by spending some time in Paul's writings. Paul includes a lot of really awesome prayers in the epistles. We're going to settle in to some of those. We already learned about a key prayer in the Sermon on the Mount series. You remember which prayer that was we learned about? What's that called? The Lord's Prayer. So I hope that stays, I want to refresh that in your mind. Some of you know it off the tip of your tongue. For some of you, it might be new. But I want to encourage you, that one, if I do a series on prayer, it's that's the mountaintop. That's the peak. That's like the best part. And so we're already past that. So everything else is going to be kind of like informing prayer and teaching us about it, but it'll never get better than what Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer. So refresh your memory this week on that and on using the Lord's Prayer. But as we go, I also want to just let you know, and you probably know this about me already, it's not going to be like 7 tips to better prayer or how to unlock the life hacks on prayer, anything like that. I want this series to be rooted in Scripture in a way that we most weeks will settle into a passage, we'll settle into a prayer, and really understand it and ingest it. And in a way that when we leave it, your assignment will be to use that prayer that week, to actually pray that prayer that we find in Scripture in our own walk with God. So that's kind of the tone and flavor that it's going to take. God's Word gives us, it is an awesome prayer guide. And our prayers, when we really when we try to understand and grow in a biblically rooted sense of prayer, our prayers will become deeper and richer and more life-giving. So before we take any step further, I do want to actually stop and pray and just ask God to guide us as we move toward and into this series on prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for bringing us together, for incorporating us together as a family, a body, a temple, a flock, all these ways. We are yours, and we're yours together. And Father, I pray as we grow in our walk with Jesus and learn to communicate with you, would you teach us how to pray, Lord? Would you take your word and open our hearts and minds to it and teach us how to pray? Teach us the important elements and the meaning and the value of prayer so that we can be more in communication with you and more consistently dependent on you and even hearing and understanding your voice and your will for us in our lives. Father, help us as we take this step forward. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a couple of years ago, I heard Brian Ferone, our district superintendent, preach a message on prayer, and he did like this overview throughout the whole Bible of prayer. What does prayer look like at different stopping points? And kind of just fly over, and I was really intrigued by that. He recommended some books about prayer, so I worked through those books and kind of came up with my own, like, what does it look like? But today we're going to do that, but just in the Old Testament. What is the Old Testament kind of history of prayer? How did it develop? And what is it that prayer teaches us? So when we look in our Bibles, hopefully you have a Bible. It's hard to tell with a digital version. This great big section right here is Old Testament. And then this little tiny section is the New Testament. And in our Bible, that means all of this is about life that took place before Jesus ever came. This is all about life between people and God without Jesus yet. And then there's this little section called the Gospels, which is about right here. Almost half of the New Testament is describing the life of Jesus and then how we live together in the church. In light of Jesus. That's what the Bible is. It's one story about Jesus. Most of it, like looking at, man, we really need him. We need a Savior. When we look at how it's laid out, I've got in my Bible, I've got 897 pages until before Jesus comes. 897 pages of life without Jesus. And so in the very beginning of it, on page 1, God is creating. He's creating the world. He's creating us. And it's like peaceful and good and harmonious relationship with God until people sinned. You know when people sinned? On page 3. Page 3. Page 3, people sin and fall, and there's a problem between people and God, and it's all the way until almost 900. Before Jesus comes. And so it's super interesting to see all of the ways that people and God are trying to address this distance between them. and how it works out. But all of it, all of the Old Testament is pointing toward Jesus. It's an incomplete story about an incomplete kingdom trying to function with this incomplete faith so that they can all look forward to Jesus who completes it all. Jesus answers every question that the Old Testament raises. And he gives us all of the things that the Old Testament longs for and cries out for in prayer. And so we learn a lot from the Old Testament. And today we're going to take a look at kind of a flyover view of prayer in the Old Testament. Do you know when the first prayer in the Old Testament is? The first one. I don't think I would have answered this correctly before really studying and working on it. I think I would have made a different guess than what I think I believe now. You know, the Bible starts with this phrase, in the beginning, and God creates Adam. He takes dirt. He takes dirt, and he breathes into it the breath of life, and we're earth, and we're life from God, and he creates this person, and then he creates for him a wife, and there's this peaceful relationship between them and God, where God used to come and just walk with them in the garden. And I would imagine they talked about the animals. Hey, look at that one over there. You know, and they talk about the plants that were in the garden. And God said, yeah, hey, you should try one of these. These are really good. I gave you taste buds to enjoy this one. Don't only eat one of those. Don't eat more than one. And they kind of went along, and then he came to this other tree, and God said, now this is the one tree that I don't want you to touch. Don't eat from this tree. Don't eat from this tree. It's not for food for you. Just this one restriction that he gave them. And then later, soon after, we see Eve, who she's in the garden, but she's not talking to God or Adam. She's talking to a serpent, and he's tricking her into eating the one tree they shouldn't eat from. And they break God's rule. They violate his agreement, and they find themselves now, something's wrong. And God comes to visit with them in the garden, but they're not walking out to talk with God. They're hiding because they feel shame. They feel shame. We all struggle with shame that's just been passed on from generation to generation. And they're struggling with it, and they're distant from God, and they come, and God has to talk with them about that. And there's consequences to their sin. They're kicked out of the garden. They're evicted. And there's this distance, this separation between them and God from then on. And in all of that time, prayer hasn't happened yet. It's not until a little bit later in Genesis 4:26, there's a comment made by the writer. He says, at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. People know his name. They're outside. They know they're separate and lost, and they begin to call out to him. And that's the first reference to prayer in the Bible. When I went to my first year of college, right before going, I met this beautiful young woman. And was thinking about her all the time. And she and I, the problem is we went to colleges in different states. So we were separated. Like we were together and we're like, oh, we're really interested. This is great for just a little while. And then we're separated. And so do you know what we did when we were separated from each other for that year? How we communicated to each other? Take a guess on how we would communicate. We wrote letters. Now, these are ancient artifacts where you would crush a tree into this thing called paper. You take a pen and you would start to write, like, Dear Kimberly. And I start to write what I wanted to say, like, and with a pen, sometimes even in cursive. I know, it's like an ancient art, lost art. And we would write a letter, and I would write this thing out, and I would tell her how I feel. I would tell her what I was thinking. I would talk about her and all the things I loved about her, right? And I would write this letter, And then I would fold it, put it in an envelope, and mail it. The rest is faith. Like, I would... Faith means believing in something you can't see. So I would just, like, believe that somehow the U.S. government would get the letter to her. That takes a lot of faith. And then she would open it and read it. And then I would actually have to have faith on how she would receive that. Like, that she's reading it well, that she's understanding my heart through the words on the page. And then I would have faith that she would maybe even write back and tell me how she thinks and feels. It was crazy. And we would do that at that time because we weren't together face to face. But then a really cool thing happened because we actually grew up in the same town. When we'd go home for break, we'd be sitting in the same room. And we're sitting in the same room. Do you know what I did not do? Yeah. I did not pull out a piece of paper and a pen and write a letter as if she was far away. I looked at her and I talked to her, and it was great. It was a different thing. It was like, we don't need to do this. Prayer is when we're writing our letter to God. That's what prayer is, because we're not face to face with him. There's a distance, there's a separation. Paul says someday we'll see him face to face. But for now, as we wait for that day, we're expressing our faith by saying, I'm going to say this prayer knowing he can hear. And even though I can't see his reaction with my eyes, I trust that he's hearing, that he's responding, that there's a relationship. Just like Kimberly and I had a relationship, even though it was a distance one. And prayer is that, when we're trying to express that relationship over a distance. I hope that makes sense. It's our letters to God, and by the way, we have letters from him. And we read these by faith. I wasn't there when 2 Samuel chapter 2 was written, but I believe it's true, and I believe that this stuff happened. I believe that David was anointed king over Judah. I'm just pulling something random, right? I read these things that this is true. God was involved there, and that God has something in this for me. This is his record, his letter to me. And so God has given us his word, and we're praying in this communication. It's awesome, but it also feels a little bit incomplete, doesn't it? As we work in our relationship with God. Now, I have to say, it's better for us. We have things that they didn't have in the Old Testament. We're in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Word of God. They didn't have the New Testament or the Gospels then. It was just the beginning of the Old Testament. So we have so much, we're so much closer. The bridge that we communicate to God on is wider and stronger and bigger than it was for them. And yet they were trusting God by faith, and we are as well. And the incompleteness of their ability to communicate with God increased their longing for him. And we see that longing, like in Psalm 42, when he says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And we can feel this desperation for God, this incompleteness in their relationship, where they wanted more. They wanted more from him. We see it in the sacrificial system, in all these different ways that were these incomplete bridges between people and God, where they're expressing in prayer that they want something more durable. They're longing for a Messiah. Because a Messiah would be solid, man, complete, someone strong they could depend on. He wouldn't be fragile like some of the systems that seemed like they had the law. Great, the law helps reconnect them to God to some degree in some way, but then they break the law. Now what? But we have Christ. It's not based on me being good enough or perfect enough or never sinning. When I sin, I still come back to Jesus, and we talk about it. Because he's got a strength that they only longed for in the Old Testament. And that longing is good for us to hear. As we look at these Old Testament prayers, it's really, really good for us to see how they were longing for more, because it enriches our appreciation of Jesus. Which, honestly, sometimes we just don't get it the way that they got it. We don't understand how awesome, how good we have it in Christ. So Paul explains a little bit of, like, when if we can pray today because Christ has completed the bridge. He has completed our access to the Father. So when I pray in the name of Jesus. I can walk right into the throne of grace anytime. Back then, they didn't have Jesus yet. How did that work? And Paul explains in Romans 3, he says, you know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are good enough to communicate with our holy God on our own. And he talks about how we were justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's how we're saved. That's how we can pray. But what about in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, like, we look back in time at the cross, they were looking forward to it. And Paul says in Romans 3:25, in his forbearance, God left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So like when Daniel or Joseph or some Old Testament saint would pray, God would say, well, you know, there's this sin problem between us. I can't even hear you pray. And they would cry out to his mercy. They would cry out to God based on his love. And we see it in Old Testament prayers. They're like, but God, you're loving. But you're loving kindness. But that covenant you made. But the promise you made to me. And as they appeal to God, God takes that sin that's between them. And he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it from between us and just set it right here so we can communicate. Now, it's still sitting right here. It's going to have to be dealt with. In his forbearance, he left these sins unpunished until Christ came. He says, in the future, I'm going to pick this up and put it on my son on the cross. But for today, we can talk because I'm going to take this thing, your sin, I'm just going to set it right over here. Now, what happens when you and I go to pray? Where is our sin? God took this thing and he cast it as far as the east is from the west. It's gone because it went on Christ and it's paid for, buried, done. But for the Old Testament saints, people say the Old Testament is about the law. The New Testament is about grace. Have you heard that before? You can get that feel because there is a lot of law in the Old Testament. But I look in the Old Testament and I see what incredible grace that even before Christ came to save us, God would take your sin and set it over here and choose not to be looking at it or remembering it right now so that he could love us. There's a lot of grace in the Old Testament. And they knew that. I think they had a sense of that and they appealed to God and his character and his mercy and his grace in a way that enriches our understanding of who God is. And in that sense, we understand the importance of the gospel. The gospel is all that Jesus did for us, that he died, he was buried to pay the penalty for our sins, he rose from the grave in new life so that we could rise up into new life with him. We know the gospel, and it's important to us. Its importance to us back then, they anticipated it, they hoped for it, they longed for it, and they prayed about it. And in light of that, I can say all prayers are gospel prayers. All prayers are gospel prayers. Every single prayer is because of the gospel and is really about the gospel. Even theirs before Christ came to bring the gospel. They were praying in hope that someday God would complete this bridge. He would resolve the sin issue between them. Not just temporarily, but permanently and forever. So that's going to be something you'll hear again as we go through and look at different prayers in the Bible. The gospel is in those prayers. And it's a big deal because often when we pray as American Christians in 2023, we pray prayers that have nothing to do with the gospel. A lot. God, I have a big test tomorrow, and I need you to help me get through this one. Okay, great. I mean, I understand that there's an implicit understanding of the gospel. They didn't have an implicit understanding of it in the Old Testament. They said it. God, there's something I want to do. There's something I need help with, but first let me talk to you about you. And we saw that Jesus taught that in the Lord's Prayer as well. We first stop our Father who's in heaven, right? There's this distance still, this longing for more. Holy is your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we talk about forgiveness of sins. This is a gospel prayer. And it'll help us if we learn how to pray our prayers, not just in some light or shadow of the gospel, but explicitly gospel prayers to draw us closer to our Father in the light of Jesus. So I want to see this in action. I want us to just kind of like a stone skipping across a pond, like skip down and touch point on a couple spots in the Old Testament to see this in action. You want to go there with me? Ready? All right. The first one, and you can just follow along. I'll put a few notes on the screen. Some of the Old Testament prayers are very simple. Like there's one in Genesis chapter 24. God had promised Abraham, I'm going to make you, like, right, you're old, you're too old to have kids, whatever, but I'm going to give you kids and you're going to become a great nation. So he chooses Abraham, he makes a promise to him, but he's still old and doesn't have any, you know, he's got Isaac now, but Isaac's not married. And so he's like, well, if that promise is going to come true, we got to find a wife for my son, right? It's every parent's job, right? To pick a spouse for your child. So he sends his servant to go find a wife for Isaac. We don't even know the servant's name. The guy's not important. But he gives us this cool example of prayer. So the servant goes, he travels to where the young women are. There they are, all right. And he's standing there going, I gotta bring one home. What if I pick the wrong one? Or what if I can't get one to come with me? This is weird. And so he stops and he prays in Genesis 24:12. He says, then he prayed, Lord, he's like hiding in the bushes, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today. And show kindness to my master, Abraham. He just pauses. It's a simple prayer. But in that prayer, it's a gospel prayer. He prays to the God of my master, Abraham. He prays for success, but he appeals to God's kindness. He kind of refers to this, it's in light of this promise that God had made to make Abraham a great nation. And he's hoping that God is who he says he is. And he talks to God about that. Sometimes these come out, our gospel prayers can be very simple. Here's another one. Sometimes our gospel prayers come out as songs of praise and thanksgiving. There's one in Exodus chapter 15. Moses it's Exodus, right? They've just exited Egypt. And God saved them from the Egyptian army that's trying to come and stop them from fleeing their slavery. So Moses writes this song of praise. And he says in here in Exodus 15, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both the horse and the driver. He's hurled into the sea. And then he says in verse 13, in light of your unfailing love, you will lead the people that you have redeemed. He's giving praise to God, but he's expressing that he's banking on God being who he says he is, right? The people, your unfailing love. I know about your love, and I'm banking on it. These are the people you redeemed. I'm banking on that you're going to be faithful. It's this great picture of we give praise, but we give praise in light of who we know God is and what God does. Some Old Testament prayers, a lot of them, are actually very deeply personal and intimate. And we'll see this in the Psalms. They're very intimate. But in this one here, there's one in Exodus chapter 33. It's not actually a prayer. It's a description of how Moses would talk to God. And look at that. It says, the Lord... So this is the time Moses would go and speak to the Lord on behalf of the people. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face like one speaks to a friend. How many people in the Bible spoke to the Lord face to face like one speaks to a friend? Moses did. I think we could safely say that Jesus did. Outside of that, I mean, we're like, that's what we're longing for, that face-to-face when we're together with him in glory. Somehow God picked Moses to reveal himself face-to-face. He's almost not praying anymore. If he's face-to-face, it's not prayer anymore, right? But this closeness, this intimacy that he had with God is astounding. And we see in a lot of other prayers that there's just this closeness and connection with God as they pour out their heart and feel heard and seen by him. Well, as we look through the Old Testament, you know, there's some Old Testament books never mention prayer at all. It's not in them. Book of Ruth. There's no prayer in Ruth. Leviticus doesn't have any prayer. Most of the minor prophets never mention prayer. It just wasn't like the thing they were writing about. But there's one book. Which book do you think mentions prayer the most or has the most prayers in it? Lamentations, Psalms. Okay, Job, good. Those are all great, great examples, great examples. The book of Psalms is one that it depends on how you see the Psalms. They're either just songs that we sing or they're prayers that we sing. I kind of think of them as prayers that we sing. So if I think of it that way, I'd have to say that Psalms has the most prayers in it. And we're going to look at a few of them in the coming weeks. Oh, man, the Psalms are so rich. Do you go there? Do you just sometimes, you maybe even, there are some days I don't even know, I get up in the morning and I'm not really even sure like what I need right now, but I'll grab one of the Psalms or maybe a couple of them and just read them, and it's so rich and inviting for my soul. We're going to look at some Psalms and see how God, you know, in the Psalms it's great because you don't have to clean yourself up first and then come before the Lord. You get to be before the Lord with your emotions raw and unfiltered and unrefined. And just come before him. And what they do is God will hear you and connect with us in that state of like, I feel so sad or I feel so angry or I feel so lost right now or whatever it is. And God will connect with us there and redirect us back to him. They all end up with this growing trust of him when we come and use the Psalms. Lamentations as well has just some awesome, awesome expressions of that. We're going to look at one of those later too. But as we look at one more touch point in the Old Testament, Daniel. Daniel's known for his prayer life. But there's this prayer of confession in Daniel chapter 9. And he says this, Daniel chapter 9, verse 4, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned. Notice first how Daniel, before he delineates all his sin, getting all of his sins is right isn't the most important part. But talking to God about God, talking to God about the gospel, that was the important starting place. When he talked about my Lord, the Lord my God, and how he's awesome and he keeps his covenant of love, and he keeps, you know, he's faithful to us, and he confesses his sins. It's a gospel prayer. And then finally, down in verse 18 of the same time, he says, we do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. We do not make requests because we're righteous, not because I deserve this, not because I'm better than the person next to me. It's because of your mercy. I can ask you for something because you're merciful. You give. Jesus said it this way: if a son asks his father for a piece of bread, does he give him a stone? God delights to give good gifts to his children. And we pray and ask for good things not because we deserve them, but because God is good and he is merciful. He is rich in his kindness. We appeal in prayer to him because we love the gospel. So in the coming weeks, we're going to look at Psalm 8, which is a psalm of praise. We'll look at Psalm 51, a psalm or prayer of confession of sin. We're going to look at Psalm 55, which is a lament. And once we really dive into that, we're going to look at Psalm 94, which is an imprecatory psalm. How do I pray when I'm ticked off at someone? We have guidance for that in the Old Testament. And we're gonna come into the Gospels, and we're going to see Jesus, a little more teaching on prayer and how he practiced it in his life. And then take a look at the longest prayer in the New Testament, John 17, where Jesus prays for us there. And then we'll take a look into several of Paul's prayers and his epistles. And I hope that this time is helpful in thinking about what prayer is and encouraging you to pray. So are you ready to exercise your prayer muscle? And allow God's word to begin to guide us and direct us and give us help in learning how to pray. So just for this week, rather than having a unique one, come back. I want you to revisit the Lord's Prayer. Pull that one back out for this week. Pull that back out. Remember it. Practice it. Just pray it as it is. Or if something comes up, this is how it is in me most of the time. Something comes up, and I think, oh, I should pray about that. And I start praying about it, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Maybe instead of just jumping in on what I want, let's hit pause on that, and let's pray the Lord's Prayer so I can focus on who he is and what God wants, and then ask him to meet my need inside of that context. So that's what I want you to do this week. Pull the Lord's Prayer out and reignite it in your life. I want to pray about that, and then we're going to take communion together as a family. Father, thank you for this opportunity to step into what your word says about prayer. Lord, would you guide us and draw us close to you? I think we all want to pray more and better and richer and feel this connection with you. So, Lord, teach us to pray. May your word give us insights and wisdom, and more than that, stir a deep longing in our hearts to want to spend time with you, communicating with you. Thank you so much for all your commitment to us as we want to pray. It's you have done everything on your end to make all of that better than we can imagine. So give us what it takes to get up and engage you in it and learn and grow. Thank you, Lord. We're looking forward to the journey. In Jesus' name, amen.